They say don't let people live in your head rent-free. But today I want to talk about all the things that break in and live in your head. That metaphor needs a little bit of work, but I will work on it today on I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 21.
I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there, guys. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. We stream on Twitch Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Welcome to Daylight Savings Time. Those of us in America and the rest of the world, alter your timing accordingly if you want to catch my streams. Yeah, so this is a long-running podcast. I started when I was not published at all, and now I'm working on my sixth or seventh book. And I've built a career, and I still don't really feel like I know what I'm doing. So I continue to do this podcast. It does go into our episode feed about a week later. It's cleaned up by my producer, and we pop it in with show notes and links and all that stuff. So if you can't be catching it live, then you can just subscribe where you find podcasts. And there's new places every day because they email me. To start off with keeping myself honest, I've been doing that really irritating thing of when I started out writing the book, I was just writing whatever scenes came to mind. And some of the scenes needed manipulating, and one scene I just wrote again. Even though I knew that I like a clean word count and I don't like to look at the word count that says 30,000 and think, is it really 30,000? I'm not sure. So yeah, yesterday was hard. It felt like I did a lot of work, but I also had to delete a good amount. So I don't know how many words I ended up writing total, but I got about 1,200 words yesterday. Today, I did not have a good focusing morning. Actually, I did, but I'll talk about that later. And I think I'm at like 400 or something. Again, I had to carefully read what I had, and I can't remember. Maybe this is why you don't edit while you're writing. Since I've changed a couple of things around and changed the structure and put one person's introductory chapter a little bit earlier, I forget if I mentioned a key plot point yet. And the key plot point is only, you know, a shuttle from Earth is coming. That's all anybody's got to say. But I can't remember who said it to whom and at what point. And I searched and I couldn't find it. So I'm guessing it hasn't been said yet. So I'm writing that in there. Spoiler. I feel both good about the work I have planned on this book and terrified because I don't really know what my word count is, so I don't really know what my daily word requirement is. I'm pretty sure if I just set myself to do like 1,500 words a day, then, you know, whether I clean up or just write straight, I'll get there. But anyway, that's what I've been working on. Anyway, time for good news. I have no good news. The thing that sort of hinted at last week, my agent got sick. Are they allowed to do that? I mean, I've been like just sitting here wondering, and he's like, sorry, I got sick. And I'm like, this sick thing. You need to be there. Yeah, but I guess he's doing okay because he's, like, sent a bunch of emails out today. So anyway, I have no more news on that. And even if I did have news, it would just be nothing I could say. So yeah, did get an email. Need to look at that. So y'all, if you have any good news, if you are new here, we talk about good news as good news includes you submitted a story, you got a rejection, you got an acceptance. There's lots of things that we count as good news here, because working writers get rejected. And if you get rejected, you're a working writer. So congratulations for being a working writer. That's why we're keeping up with Team Rejection 2022. We're at 81. I submitted my first story on Friday. First story ever. Congratulations, Shauna. That's amazing. That's awesome. Oh, Hugo nominations. It's the last day. Please nominate. And I'm not even begging for me. Although you know I am. But if people nominate what they feel passionately about, that's all I care about. You know, I haven't been nominated for Best Fan Cast in several years, and part of me feels bad about that. But part of me also thinks that podcasting's gotten big enough to where there's more than just 20 of us. And that is nothing but a good thing. And also, for a bit of subversion, if you have any space on your best dramatic work short, I recommend The Garage's Unstable. It's one of their, I think it's their best concept album, because it kind of focuses on one person, and all the songwriters have their different takes on this one rather explosive, unstable person. Sorry, I'm looking through email, and I thought I got through a lot of email this morning, but I didn't. So, new-ish listener, since I've been going since 2005, but welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing your good news with us. We got, my goals this year have aligned with that of the podcast. I have 12 rejections to add to the team total, 10 of which have come in the last 2 weeks. I expect to have more to add later on. So, been listening for a year and a half, started listening during lockdown. Congratulations, Mark. That's a lot of times to hit the button. I think I'm going to add it manually. How many was that? That was 12 rejections. Okay. Let's see if this works. Okay. Of course not, because the bot's not working today. All right, Mark, we will write that down, and I will update the rejection counter soon. You gotta nominate. There are zillions and quillions of SF readers and like 1,500 people who vote for the Hugos, let alone nominate. Exactly. Which is why I'm trying to get the Garages on. My book designer? Hang on. That's my new book. It's coming out in October. The cover is drop-dead gorgeous. That pro artist designer is Will Stale. One of you looked up the pronunciation for me. Staehle. And I'm hoping to get him on the ballot. Hey, Tish. Good to see you. Hey, waving. Hello, Tish. I can do this. Do you need a membership to nominate or just to vote? Both. If you had a membership to DISCON, you can nominate for Chicon. But to vote for the actual Hugos, you need a membership to Chicon. And I understand if people don't want to do supporting memberships. I don't think we promote what exactly your Worldcon thing gets you. We'll talk about that in a minute. But last call for good news. Okay, I'll talk a little bit about the changes in Escape Pod. As I mentioned, I don't talk a lot about my each job because I try to keep them separate in my head. But there's enough news at Escape Pod happening now. My good friend, co-editor, and organized queen to my disorganized jester, Divi is leaving Escape Pod. She has her 7 years, she decided was enough, and she's got her health to worry about because of the pandemic, so she'll be leaving, but we're very glad to announce that replacing her will be Valerie Valdez. In chat, she is The Kids Are Asleep, and we've been, you know, working together and meeting and talking about stuff for a couple of months, and I've known Valerie longer than that, but we've been meeting on a professional level for a while, and you know, I fully believe that the transition will go smoothly because Divya went and found someone who's like her. So I am so grateful. So grateful. So very grateful. So yes. Very sad that Divya is leaving, but excited to work with Valerie. So congratulations, Kids Are Asleep. I am here to protect Murr from spreadsheets. Exactly. Yes. They bite, man. Change one number and everything blows up. Maybe I shouldn't have bought the explodable spreadsheets. I don't know, but anyway, there's that. Want to remind people again, because it's awesome, that Premi, Mohammed, and Divya both got Nebula nominations. A lot of people look at the Nebula nominations when they're trying to consider what to nominate for the Hugos. I'm just saying. Just saying. And yes, Premi is our assistant editor at Escape Pod. So we're very, very proud over at the Escape Artists area. So there was that. So there were a lot of things that just flew through my head. It's scaring me as I learn more and more about ADHD, how... Well, I guess it's not scaring me. Learning about why, when you say to yourself, like you're standing outside yourself, what are you doing? You have a deadline. Why are you editing blog posts to make sure they're all consistent? No one cares except for you. And probably because you're doing something other than writing. I was thinking about last week's episode about task avoidance, and... For me, I think it goes deeper. It goes deeper than just task avoidance because, you know, it's the when I try to start a new habit, I get this sinking feeling that, okay, yeah, I'm doing it now, but there's no way I can keep this up. And that kind of self-talk is bad. It's bad. You shouldn't be doing that to yourself. I shouldn't be doing that to myself. So, you know, like I got up to go running this morning and I was proud of myself for a moment. And I'm like, I'm not going to keep this up. I'm not going to be consistent. And that also is not good. So I'm trying to figure out like task avoidance to stop crapping on yourself in the future. But I realize that when you do these little tasks, your brain gets a hit of dopamine. You don't know it because you don't really feel it, but you know some sort of sense of satisfaction's happening and it wants to keep on cleaning up these websites. I finally decided on going with Streamlabs instead of Redbubble, so I went back to change my links for my merch sites. And then I realized, well, Amazon kicked me out of the affiliate program because I'm not selling enough. So I removed all my affiliate links. And then I realized I messed up a couple of the numbering. And that was my morning. And I was in my head saying, what are you doing? Stop doing this. And I think it's the little bit of dopamine. I am being productive. I am getting stuff done. So I am years and years into a writing career. And I still struggle with the idea of This is the priority all of my other things need to revolve around. This is not the thing I fit in when I have time. What really annoyed me is I realized that I was focusing. I was using the focus given to me by the expensive medicine that I take. But I was pointing a very powerful gun at the wrong thing. So, that was irritating, because I had the focus, I was just doing it on the wrong thing. So again, I'm still searching for the whole dopamine thing, but it's just been a bad brain day. And so I think one thing I wanted to do is think about the stuff we allow to live in our heads. And they say when you're mad at somebody or you put a lot of hate to somebody, that you're just letting them live rent-free in your head. Like, years and years ago, I had a road rage incident where a guy was not happy with the way I was driving and had started to drive very threateningly at me. And it spooked me so much that every time I got on that road, I thought about that. And I keep thinking, that guy probably does that to a bunch of people. He does not remember you. You're not in his head. Why? Why? I'm letting him live in mine. And I think the same thing happens with these other things of, like, I'll be honest, the award season thing. I have a number of friends who get very worked up about awards. And me. You know, wanting it for so long. I don't know about you, but I did know to go at least check out the books with the shiny rocket on the cover when I was a kid in the sci-fi section. So, you know, getting closer to that is just, it's amazing that I've been able to get this close. I did, you know, Matt and I did win the Hugo for Ditch Diggers a couple of years ago, and that was, I was looking at a picture of us going, did that really happen? And it's a good thing. It's a good feeling. But it has its own anxieties. You're going to love to hear that. You're going to love it. Now, losing an award can make you feel like you're garbage. Wanting the award and not getting a nomination can make you feel like you're garbage. If you win the award, you're going to think, there's a bunch of people out there who still think I don't deserve this, and I've fooled them all, and imposter syndrome's going to make you take it away from me, isn't it? I think I've told this story before, but when I won the Astounding Award, Paolo Bacigalupi came up to me that night, and he said, promise me you're going to wait at least 2 weeks before thinking you're garbage again. And my husband looked at him, he's like, thank you! So, I thought that was, he knew. He knew. But yeah, it's like, and these past couple of years have been awful, because first there was the pandemic, and we've been talking about going to New Zealand since they announced their bid in 2010. And then, so we watched the Hugos for the first time. And then last year, they did everything the same, which is nominate early, and then vote over, you know, nominate early, announce around Easter, and then leave the voting open until Worldcon, which was in December. So we had 8 months of being a nominee last year, which was another little bit of weird stress I didn't need. That was strange. And then the Hugos happened on December 18th, and then they opened again, nominations opened again the next month. So it's like, that is a thing that lives in my head. and it shouldn't. Especially because, you know, I've had the experience, and it's it's just as any other learned thing. It's become something you get used to, and I'm not saying that on an egotistical level. I'm just saying that, okay, I know what happens when you get nominated. I know the things that you go through, and so when things become more regular, they're not as super shiny. I'm really worried this coming across wrong. Just, I remember when last year when Podcastle and Escape Pod were both nominated for Semi-Prozine, our publisher wrote and said, okay, anybody who this is your first nomination, get out your questions now. And I thought, oh, that was smart. Yeah, I didn't think to do that. That was just a little bit of, you know, self-centered thinking on my part. Well, I know what we need to do. Why doesn't anybody else? So the Brain Weasels, I think starting a novel's really hard for me. And I think I'm just learning that now. Because it took me a while to get a voice. It took me a while to get the stakes where I wanted them. And I'm bad at writing interpersonal conflict to start out with. I know it needs to come, but when I usually start something, it's like, okay, here are our characters. They're going to work together to deal with this one thing that they're facing. Not, you know, but these two are exes and have some clashing, and the other two are dating, but things aren't going well, whatever. Just, there's... So that needs to be rewritten, and I think I resent that, because I really want... I feel like I should be writing clean first drafts at this point, and I'm not. And, you know, I had dude from my character's past coming in, and they, oh, I didn't know you were going to be here. Oh, pleasant talk. Let me show you around the station. And then I'm like, well, that's effing boring. So I had to rewrite that. So this is all things that I guess is warming up for me, but I need to remember that I need it. So it's, the Brain Weasel there was just me looking at my word count, knowing I'm writing, when I finally settle down to do it. And the number's not going up, but I know I'm writing. And it's just very frustrating. But the meaningless things we allow to distract us, some of it's due to dopamine. If you can do a little task and complete it, your brain gets a little reward. And you get that feeling that you did something, you were productive. You're not a lazy writer. Of course you're not, because you worked all day. And I think probably I expect too much of myself. I should know by now that I need a certain amount of time to settle into a book. When I'm still saying, okay, well, if I write 1,000 words a day, I can get a book in 3 months. What's the big deal? Why do you think that 5 is ambitious? Have I ever written 1,000 words a day for 3 straight months? Maybe back in the magic spreadsheet days, but definitely not recently. Another thing you should not allow to distract you, and people might disagree with me on this, but I don't care, is reviews. I think some people like reviews because bad reviews, like, fuel them. Some people even take mean things people say about them and wear it as a badge of pride. But I'm the kind of person that when I read a negative review, I'm pretty much done for the day and very sad. But whether you're tough or not, it's academically pointless. It is logically pointless to read reviews because there's nothing you can do. If someone hated it, and if they're even right that you messed up whatever they say you messed up, or was weak, something was weak, there's nothing you can do. If you're self-published, there is something you can do, but you gotta ask yourself, how many times are you gonna do that? How are you gonna decide who is worth changing your novel for? Changing your published novel for? It was in the news when Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret updated the novel to be more timely because women don't wear sanitary belts anymore. We weren't doing it when I was a kid and I read that book and I had no idea what they were talking about. It was news when they went and changed the words in that book. And the thing to remember is when people aren't going to like your book, people are different. You can either go to Amazon or Goodreads and read all the one-star reviews that best-selling authors get. You can remember that you can't get a bell curve until you get a good number of people in the sample. Like 2 5-star reviews, and those are your only reviews, that doesn't tell people a lot. Once you get a good amount of people, you're going to develop a bell curve where most people think it's pretty good. And there's going to be a handful at one end thinking this is dreck. I wouldn't even start a fire with it. And there's other people who would say this has changed my life forever. So if you get a bad review, think about it that way. You're going to get somebody on the downside. You just are. And it probably means that more and more people are checking out your book. One thing that's bothering me mostly today is that I know I'm behind on my book, and then I'm not terribly behind, but I also have other things I'm behind on, and I get panicky. And I worry about everything and achieve nothing. And whenever, and it has happened here, as I'm sitting here with a marker in my hand making notes as I talk, I've thought of a couple of things I wanted to talk about that left. They're gone. They left. Bye-bye. So I apologize for that. I'm going to blame the time change. I don't know. It's messing with me a little bit. It's also allergy season, which allergy season seems to just kind of affect my general well-being and mood, not necessarily sneezing and sniffling. But anyway, this is one of those days where I'm like, well, I don't feel like streaming, but I gotta talk about something, so what now? And so I just kind of figured I'd talk about the brain weasels that are in my head running around. Because it's rough sometimes. And I don't know why. So I'm going to go ahead and end it now because I want to talk about some podcasting news. And that's not terribly relevant. So thank you for listening to I Should Be Writing. I'm not always so rambly. Usually I'm more focused. You can find my blog and show notes and merch store at merverse.com. You can also read about my books, Escape Pod, all the other things I'm involved in. And if you want to email me, you can email mightymer@gmail.com. I'll be doing a giveaway for some books in the coming days, or coming weeks, I should say. You can follow me on Twitter, Twitch, Mighty Mer, and Yeah, I'll be back on Thursday with Ursula Vernon, and y'all know that even if we can't think of something to talk about, we'll be entertaining anyway, because that is what Ursula brings to the table. Lawful chaos. So I hope you guys are having a more focused day than I am, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing. It's available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching the doctor. Watching Doctor Who.